Morning.
We're holding on to Yud Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We started discussing yesterday Megillas Tainis, which is a list of days, mostly from the time, of events that happened during the time of the second Beis Mikdash, when the Yidden were saved in one way or another, and the Chachamim declared the minor Yom Tovim. Some of them, we said, only that you're not allowed to fast on them, and some of them also that you're not allowed to make a spading on them. So we were discussing the first two entries in Megillas Tainis. It starts from Nisan and it goes around the year until the end of Adar. So it starts by listing two of them. One, from the first through the eighth of Nisan, are the days when they successfully disproved the tzedukim who wanted to claim that the korban tamid can be brought from private money rather than from machta shekel. So they made a yomtiv of that. Itokam tmida, that the tamid was established how it should be brought. And then you have another one from the eighth of the Nisan through the end of Pesach. Itokam chagad shuaya, where again another one involving the tzedukim, where they were able to successfully disprove the tzedukim who claimed that shavuos always that the harvesting of and the bringing of the omer and shavuos always have to be on Sunday. So we started with the discussion. Why is it, given that on Rosh Chodesh you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to make a spadim anyway, why did Megillas Tainis have to mention that the first one begins on Rosh Chodesh? It could have just as well said, I mean, historically, fine, it began, but the point is not to teach us history, the point is to teach us halacha. So in terms of halacha, Rosh Chodesh is anyway off limits for fasting and hespedim. So it could have just as well said that the Yom Tov begins on Beis Nisan. So why did it need to mention Rosh Chodesh? And the answer was because the day before, on Rosh Chodesh itself, it's true, you're not allowed to make a spedim or fast anyway, but Erev Rosh Chodesh you would have been allowed to. Now that we're saying that the Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis begins on Rosh Chodesh, then we're saying that the day before it, Erev Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, you're also not allowed to fast, or make a spedim. And we said, on the other hand, if it was just the fact that it's Erev Rosh Chodesh is Daraisa, it doesn't need Chizuk, whereas the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainis do require Chizuk. Okay, so now let's look at the next part of the Braisa, the next part of Megillas Tainis. Omar, we said, from the 8th of Nisan through the end of Pesach, Itos of Chagad Shavuaya, they reestablished when Yom Tov Shavuos is supposed to be, that it can be any day of the week. It's the 50th day of Sfira, and not, as the Tzedukim claimed, always on a Sunday. Deloyla Mispat, counting from the second day of Pesach. Deloyla Mispat, and it's a day, therefore, you're not allowed to make a spadim. So again, we have to ask, Loma Liad Sof Moed, why does Megillas Tainis have to mention that this Yom Tov extends through the end of Pesach? Again, on Pesach itself, you're not allowed to anyway. Lema Ad HaMoed, it could just say that from the 8th through the 14th of Nisan, is this celebration. Umoyed Gufa, Yom Tov Huva Asur. During Pesach itself as a Yom Tov, you're anyway not allowed to fast, you're anyway not allowed to make a spadim. So what are we adding by saying that the Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis extends throughout the whole Pesach? Amar Papa. So the Papa says, Kid Amar Rav, Lo Nitzrucha Ela Lesa Yom Shalafanov. Just like in the previous part, we said, you're right, it's not really needed to tell us that those days themselves are also behesved with Tainis, they're Yom Tov anyway, but we said in the example that Rav was talking about, from the first through the eighth of Nisan, we said the point of mentioning the first of Nisan was that not only the first is also, but also, as our Mishnah had said, also the day before it. Hachinami, the same thing over here, we can answer, Lo Nitzrucha Ela Lesa Yom Shalachrav. Here it's the same thing. It means, in other words, that the day after it, Isru Chag, would also be also to do these things. Now the question with that is then, Kiman. Now we had in the Mishnah a machlokas of the Chachamim, which usually means Reb Meir, as we're going to say later, and Reb Yosi. We had a machlokas between them. When we say a Yom Tov and Megillas Tainis, what exactly is Osir and Mutter around them? So we had, when it says Deloyla Mispad, when it says that it's a day you're not allowed to make a spadim, which shows, in other words, that it's a bigger celebration. So then we said, so the Tanakama had said that So the Tanakama had said, Lofonav also, only before does it also, but the day after it would be mutter, the Hesped, the Tainus. And Rabbi Yossi had said that both before and after are mutter. Rabbi Yossi had said that both before and after it is also, when it says, Deloy Lemispad. Now, this is one of those ones, Deloy Lemispad. So therefore, so Rav Papa's answer, so the question is, Kiman, well, who would that be like? Could Rabbi Yossi? Evidently, the way Rav Papa is explaining Megillas Tainis is explaining the fact that it mentions that the whole Pesach is included in the second celebration over there would specifically be according to Rabbi Yossi, Dama Bein Lafana Bein La'achar V'asur, where Rabbi Yossi had said that the day after it would be Asur. In other words, if we said that it was according to the Chachamim, who said it was according to the Meir, then again, there would be no reason to mention it, because according to the Meir, there's no such thing as the day after it being Osir, only the day before and the day of the Yom Tov itself are Osir Behesped Vitainis. The day after would be Mutter. So according to the Meir, there would be no reason for it to mention that the Yom Tov extends throughout the whole Pesach. So you're going to say like Rabbi Yossi. Now, I mean, so Rashi explains the question that the fact is, how are you even explaining that it's like Rabbi Yossi? Given that you have Yochid V'Rabim, or not Yochid V'Rabim, you have the Mishnah over here mentions that the Tanakama is the Tanakama. It's usually, we're going to say later on Halacha Kastam Mishnah. In any case, when you have something, even though we're going to say later in the Gemara that this opinion is the opinion of Rav Meir, the fact that it's not presented in the Mishnah as Divrei Rav Meir, but rather just generically, implies that most of the Chachamim agree with it. So why would Rav Papa be explaining that the Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis is written in such a way specifically according to Rav Yossi? Wouldn't we rather have it work according to the Rabbanan? Other Mephoshim say, not necessarily. I mean, Halacha may well be like Rabbi Yossi. And in fact, later on, at the bottom of the Amud, we're going to talk about that maybe the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. But after all, then the question is not really on that. The question is that, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, even according to Rabbi Yossi, it shouldn't have been necessary. Because, so if you're going to say that like Rabbi Yossi, that both before and after it are also, then now let's go back to the previous one. So fine, we can understand then that the one from the 8th through the 8th of Nisan through the 21st of Nisan was necessary, and it was necessary to mention the last part of it in order to tell us that also the 22nd of Nisan, Isruchag, you can't fast and you can't make a spadim either. But Ihafi, if you're going to say that the Braisa of Megillas Tainis goes like Rabbi Yossi, then the Esrim Vetishan Nami, then why do we need to mention the first one, that it starts with Shchodesh, and say that tells us that therefore the 29th, you're also not allowed to fast? My area, to have a yomim demikame yomim demitokim tmida, according to Rabbi Yossi, you wouldn't have to need it in order, it wouldn't be necessary to say it because it was the day before itokim tmida. Typically, you'd have a different reason, according to Rabbi Yossi, that you wouldn't be allowed to fast on the 29th of Adar. Because the day after the 28th of Adar, which is also a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis, and according to Rabbi Yossi, the day after it is also. So in other words, the question is like this. If the Braisa was according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, who say that the day after is Mutter, okay, so you have to figure out then why it's mentioning Pesach, if Pesach itself is Osir. It can't be because of the day after it, because according to them, the day after is Mutter. Fine, but at least according to them, we understand why it needed to mention Rosh Chodesh Nisan as being a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis, to tell us that Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Osir. You couldn't say, according to them, well, it's because the 28th is Osir, therefore the 29th is Osir, because they don't hold of that. But if we're saying now, if her papa is telling us that the Braisa is going according to Rabbi Yossi, then the 28th is already Osir because of a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis. The first of Nisan, therefore automatically according to him, the 29th is also Osir Behesped of Tainis. So there'd be no reason to mention the first one as being on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what happened on the 28th? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we learned this in Masechta Rosh Hashanah as well. The Esrim of Tmanya Bay on the 28th of Adar, Osas Besurta Tavta Yehudoi, good news came to the Jewish people, Deloya Idun Minaraisa, that they should not have to abandon the Torah. And it's a day. Hagoyes Habach adds the words the Lord of the Mispah that you're not allowed to make a spade. What happened? Shapam achas nigzur gzeira al Yisrael. One time a gzeira was made on the Jewish people. Shalo yasku b'Torah, they should not be allowed to learn Torah. Shalo yamulu es b'nehem, they should not be allowed to mal their children. Shichalu shabbosis, and that they should be mechalul Shabbos. So these are very similar to, you know, we're now in Hanukkah. These are very similar to the Xeris that the Greeks made, although as we're going to talk about in a minute, these are actually the Romans made this Xera. But again, they were attacking mitzvahs similar to what the Greeks did, because in particular they knew that these mitzvahs are the ones that most show our connection with Hashem. They're the ones that the shalo yaskav Torah, in other words, again lashkicham Torah secha, like with the Greeks and all the other ones. So these are the ones that most demonstrate our connection with Hashem, and therefore they wanted to destroy those. Ma also Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverav. So what did Yehuda ben Shamua and his colleagues do? We learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that Yehuda ben Shamua were the Talmud of Reb Meir. So what did they do? Holcho v'notlu etzem imatunisa achas. They went and took advice from a certain noble lady, Shekol g'dolei Romim mitzuyin etzla, where all the Roman noblemen would regularly visit her. So in other words, she'd know how they think, and she'd be able to give them advice what to do to be mevatelit. Omra lahem. So she told them, luchuvah ginu balayla, go and protest at night. So ginu means to cry out. Rashi brings that the Aramaic word for shava and saka, like in Tilim, when you have shavasi and sakasi and whatever, the word for it in Aramaic is pgina. So go out and cry at night. In other words, in that way, the Roman officials will hear you, and they'll be moved to be mevatel gzeira. So sure enough, holchav ifginu balayla, they went and cried out at night. Ifginu, like you have nowadays, hafgana in modern Hebrew, is a demonstration. So here they're not demonstrating per se, but they are crying out. Omru, when they cried out, e shamayim, woe Hashem, which means first they're addressing Hashem. And they continue speaking to the Romans. Loi achim anachnu, aren't we brothers? Loi bnei av echad anachnu, aren't we the sons of one father? Because you're descended from Esav and we're descended from Yaakov, so we're both sons of Yitzchak. Loi bnei em achas anachnu, aren't we descendants of the same mother from Rivka? Marsha explains, by the way, that the triple expression, Achim, Bnei Ov, and Bnei Eim, those correspond to the three mitzvahs that the Romans are trying to break. They're saying, Achim Anachnu, they tell them, from where do we know that you're our brothers, and after all, we shouldn't completely reject you? From the Torah. The Torah says, Lois Asayev Adomi. So therefore, so why are you trying to make us break the Torah? They're saying, why are you trying to make us break Bismillah? Don't you realize that we're also the sons of Yitzchak, just like you, and Yitzchak had a Bismillah at 8 days, and you're trying to make us break Shabbos? Don't you realize that Rivka lit Shabbos candles, and her candles, as we know, stayed lit throughout the whole week? So the three expressions they're using correspond to those three mitzvahs. And they continue, Manishtaninu mikol umo v'loshen, how are we different than any other nation and any other language? Sha'atam gozrim alenu gzeiras rois, that you are making evil gzeiras against us. Obitlum, so sure enough, the Romans were mevatel gzeira. But oisayem, asa'u yamtiv. So that day, they made a yamtiv. So that was the 28th of Adar. So again, the question is, according to Rav Yossi, the 28th of Adar is a yamtiv. Therefore, the 29th is also behest for the Tainus. So there'd be no reason to mention that the 1st of Nisan was a yamtiv. Was a yomtiv, because anyway the day before it is also anyhow. To be sure, you know, the actual events happen on those days, but nevertheless, again, Megillas Tainus is not there in order to tell us history. It's there in order to teach us halacha. And in particular, I mean, you know, the yomtiv of the 28th of Adar, also the Gemara explains in Rosh Hashanah that this story involving Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverav happened actually long after the Churban. This Yehuda ben Shamua was a Talmud of Reb Meir, and Reb Meir is a couple of generations after the Churban. So this is long after. So actually, the Ramban wants to say that actually it was before. However, different other Rishonim point out that really can't be the story with the Tokam Chagat, the story with the Tokam Tmida, that they were able to successfully show the Tzedukim that the Korban Tomid has to be brought from funds of the Tzibur. That took place obviously while the Beis Mikdash was standing. This story of the 28th of Adar took place long after the Korban. After Churban Bayis Sheni, so obviously there. So the Gemara could answer very obviously. The reason why we're mentioning this separately is because back when the Yomtov of Rosh Chodesh Nissan and onward was established, the Yomtov of the 28th of Adar didn't exist yet. However, still, Gemara's question is that still when the original Megillas Tainus was written around the end of the second Beis Mikdash, but obviously they kept it up to date and they're including in a story involving the Matru Nissa and involving Yehuda ben Shamua, which took place long afterwards. So at that point, the Tanoim who were responsible for the final form of Megillas Tainus and who added that should have at that point changed the first entry and said that it starts from Beis Nissen rather than Aleph Nissen. So why didn't they do that? So again, the question is, what's the point of mentioning that the first Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus begins on Rosh Chodesh Nissen, if anyway the day before Rosh Chodesh, if you're going to say that the Braise says according to Rabbi Yossi, and Rav Papa was using that to explain why the second one goes all the way until the end of Pesach in order to tell us that Yom Shal Achrav is Aser, but in that case, there would have been no need to record Rosh Chodesh Nissen. So the answer is, Omar Abaye lo nitzruchel l'chodesh me'uber. So Abaye says, fine, but the chidush is, let's say, for example, the chodesh me'uber, which Rashi says two explanations. One is that it means it was an Ibur year. So you have two adders. Now, suppose that we have in our fixed calendar, when you have an Ibur year, the first adder is always 30 days, the second one is always 29. But in the times when they were doing our P.R.E.O., of course, it could be the other way around. So what if it happened that the first one was Chosser and the second one was Malay? So then it comes out So then there's a 30th of Adar. So then it comes out that so now you have the 29th of Adar would be allowed to fast and to do Hespedim because it's not were it not for the according to the Chachamim, whereas according to the B.A.C. not. Why? Because of the Yom Tov of the 28th. Then, meanwhile, the 30th is not necessarily Rosh Chodesh either. Now, generally, they would keep the 30th as Rosh Chodesh just in case because the Edim might come. But let's say, for example, they had calculated, they knew that no Edim are coming because the moon wasn't visible. The 30th then would be a regular day. It wouldn't be Rosh Chodesh yet. So fine. So the point is, by mentioning the Yom Tov of the 28th of Adar, according to Rabbi Yossi, we're saying the 29th is also Aser. And by mentioning the Yom Tov of the 1st of Nissan, we're saying, according to both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, that the 30th of Adar is also Aser. So that would be the point of it, Abaye says. Different achronim wonder about why Rashi has to mention the case. So Rashi's second explanation is anyway not to do with an Ibur year, but just plain that you have one Adar and it was 30 days. Different achronim discuss why on earth would Rashi have to say, according to the first explanation, that there were two Adars. How does a second Adar make a difference anyway? Regardless, the point is that the Adar before Nissan was 30 days. And there's an answer. If it weren't for the fact that it was an Ibur year, we might have to anyway not fast on the 30th, just to be on the safe side, because it might end up being Rosh Chodesh. But since we're talking two Adars, then that's not necessary. So that's an answer. You're right. If Adar was always 29 days, then it wouldn't be necessary to list both of them in Megillas Tainus. But because Adar can sometimes be 30 days, therefore, even according to Rabbi Yossi, we have reason to do that. Rav Ashi Yomar Afilu Teima L'Chodesh Chosser. Rav Ashi says you don't even need that, even if we assume that Adar is always a Chodesh Chosser. It's like this. Kol Shel Achra B'Tainus Oser B'Hesped Mutter. When you have a day when you're not allowed to fast the day after a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus, then you're still allowed to make a Spedim on it. So in other words, let's say, for example, the Yom Tov of the 28th of Adar, you wouldn't be allowed to fast on the 29th of Adar. Even, let's say, there was no Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus beginning the 1st of Nissan, you would be allowed to, you'd be allowed to make a Spedim on that day, on the 29th of Adar. You just wouldn't be allowed to fast. V'zeh, but in this case, it's special, the 29th is Horlo Mutov and Shnei Yom Tovim, because it's sandwiched between two Yom Tovim. Because you have the 28th and that you have the 1st of Nissan. So even if we assume So even if we assume that that Adar is always going to be 29 days, the point is that by mentioning the 28th and by mentioning the first, the Megillas Tainus is implying that the 29th has a special status. Asa'uhu ki yomtav atzmai. They make it like the yomtav itself. In other words, normally the rule would be the day of Megillas Tainus itself is also behesped b'tainus, and the day after it is also only b'tainus but not behesped, according to Rabbi Yossi, that is. But now we're saying because it's not only the day after a yomtav Megillas Tainus, but also the day before one. Therefore, we're saying that even hespedim would be also. So that's the chiddush. The sefer fell down. So that's the chiddush of mentioning the 28th and mentioning the first. Says Rav Ashi that according to Rabbi Yossi, it means because that day is between two yom tovim, therefore even hesped would be also on it. V'afilu behesped nami also. Okay, so that explains that, therefore. So that's why, if we say that the Braisa goes according to the Yossi, that Megillas Tainus goes according to the Yossi, as Rav Papa said at the top of the Amud, then now we understand why we need to list the first of Nisan as well as the 28th of Adar, not so much because without that we wouldn't have known that you can't fast on it. Anyway, according to the Yossi, once you have the 28th, you can't fast on the 29th. The point is that you can't make a spedim on it either, because not only it's the day after a Yom Tov Megillas Tainus, but it's also the day before one. Okay. Next, Omamar. Let's look at the next part of Megillas Tainus. We said Mitzmanya Bevad Seif Mayada, from the 8th of Nisan through the end of Pesach, Itos of Chagad Shvuaya, the Yom Tov of Shavuos was reestablished correctly, Deloyla Misvad, and therefore you're not allowed to make a spedim. Now, so before we were dealing with the end of it, why it says until the end of Pesach, when it would have been on the face of it good enough to say until before Pesach. But now let's look at a different part of it. We said, so the first one was from the first through the eighth, and the second one is from the eighth through the end of Pesach. So we have an overlap. We have one day overlapping. So, Loma li lemeima mitzmanya, lemitzmanya bay. Why do we have to say that the second Yom Tov begins on the eighth of Nisan? Lema mitisha bay. It should be enough to say that it starts on the ninth, Utmanya Gufe also, and the ninth of it, and the eighth rather would be also anyway, to have a La Yomidi token by Tamida, because it would be the day that it's the last of the days when the Talmud was reestablished. So why do we have to have that the eighth belongs to two different Yom Tovim? And the answer is Kivin de Ilu Mikra Le Milsa, because suppose that it would happen that there was some kind of trouble or some kind of Zeta. When they do in fact need to when based in needs to decide that in fact we do need to fast, ubatlini l'shiva. So suppose then we would be mevatel the first 7 days. In other words, let's say for example it happened that there was a sudden gzera and the based in decided that even though it's during the first 8 days of Nisan, even though it's during the Yom Tov of itokam tmida, nevertheless we have to make an exception and fast because of the sudden Zeta that came up. Then so we're not going to say then that part of those 7 days are still going to be in effect, and therefore, for example, a Yochid wouldn't be able to make a tainus on them, and the rest of them are not going to be in effect. We can't do that. It's an all or nothing thing. It's an eight day Yom Tov, and if we're mevatel part of it, then we're mevatel all of it. So let's say it happens that Beis Din has to declare a fast, let's say on the fifth of Nisan. So automatically, the first 7 days are going to go away, at least for that year. So therefore, nevertheless, even if they do that, Tamanya Gufei Osir, still the eighth day is going to remain Osir. Still the eighth day is going to remain Osir, not because it's part of the first Yom Tov, but because it's part of the second one. The Havala Yemakama, the Tosa Bechaga de Shavuaya, because the first of the days on which they reestablished Shavuos in its proper place. So that's the point, in other words, that's the point why we have to mention the eighth in both of them, because in case we have to be mevatel one of them, then the other one, we should know the eighth still belongs to the other one. Rashi points out, still, I mean, didn't we say before that the day before Yom Tov and Megillas Tainus is anyway Osir, so the Hesped, the Tainus rather. So again, why do we need to mention from the eighth we could say from the 9th, and even in that scenario, the 8th is going to be also, the 8th is going to be also anyway, because the day before Yom Tov. The answer is, Rashi says, if the Yom Tov of the first 8 days becomes bottle because of a sudden gzera, then we're not going to say, on the other hand, the 8th is going to remain also because of the day before the next Yom Tov. We're not going to do that, as we're going to see on Amud Beis in a different context. Therefore, we have the only reason to say the 8th would be Osir would be because it itself is part of the next Yom Tov, not just because it's the day before the next Yom Tov. And the Gemara Sari, on the other hand, says that maybe that, by the way, this Dilo Mikla Le Milso but Lina L'Shiva, he says maybe he's not talking about where you have a sudden thing where on a one-time basis they need to make a fast. He says maybe what it means is that suppose we have, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, sometimes the Chachamim would be mevatel a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis because later on, particularly, a disaster happened on that day. So therefore, you could have the same thing over here. What if it happens in a later year that some major disaster happens during those first 7 days of Nisan, and therefore the mevatel that Yom Tov? Nevertheless, the 8th is still going to remain also because it belongs to the next Yom Tov. Bechlal, we talked about in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, you have a machloikas, whether Batla Megillas Tainis or not, whether are these days of Megillas Tainis still in effect or not. The halacha is that except for Chanukah and Purim, they're not in effect, and therefore you are allowed to fast on them. With that said, though, Rishonim bring something the Ravid says, where the Ravid says, fine, that may be true, but nevertheless, you still can't make a Tainis Tzibur on them. He says that the point of Batla Megillas Tainis is that a yochid is allowed to fast on them, but nevertheless, a tainis tzibur shouldn't be made on them, according to the Ravid. Different Rishonim ask on the Ravid and disagree with him on that. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, good, hashtag the osis lahochi. Well, now that you came to that answer, now that we're saying actually that we can have a reason why Yom Tovim are overlapping is in case one of them is bottled and the other one still exists, well, then Esther and Vatishanami. Then we can answer the question that we had before, why we need to list the 28th of Adar as well as the 1st of Nisan. And we ended up saying that the reason is because the 20th was, according to Abaya, because sometimes Adar is 30 days, and according to Rav Ashi, because the 29th has an extra special status because it's between the two Yom Tovim. Now we have another answer. Esther and Vatishanami. We have another reason why we have to list both the 28th and the 1st. It does affect the 29th. Kiven de ilum miklam milsa, suppose that something were to happen where we do need to have a fast on the 28th of Nisan, let's say, or vatlina la esrim v'tmanya, suppose that we had to be mevatel the 28th of Adar for whatever reason. Esrim tisha gupay also, nevertheless, the 29th would remain also to have a la yoma, de mikama yoma, de itokam tmida, because the day before the yom tov of itokam tmida. And even according to the mayor, such a day is also to fast. So now we had the machloikas in the Mishnah. We had a double machloikas in the Mishnah. We had, first of all, when it's a day that it says in Megillas Tainis deloyla mispad, not to make a spadim, which means that it's a bigger yom tov than some of the other ones. Then we said there's the question of the fun of so according to the Tanakh, Kama, which we're going to say as soon as Rav Meir, we said the day before it, you're not allowed to fast, but the day after it, you're allowed to. Rav Yossi had said both before and after it is also. Then you had where it was a more lenient one, the loyalist Sanah behind, where it just says in the Megillas Tainis that it's a day not to fast. Then Rav Meir had said you're allowed both before and after it. You're allowed to fast on the days both before and after it. And Rav Yossi had said that no, the day before it's still also, even by those more lenient ones, only the one after it is also. So now, who is the halacha like? Itmar, Rav Chiya Ba'asi Omar Rav halacha ki Rav Yossi, or Shmuel Amar halacha ki Rav Meir. So okay, Rav and Shmuel argue whether the halacha is like Rav Yossi or Rav Meir. Rashi says they're referring to the machloikas of the first machloikas about Deloy Lemispad. Tosfos says maybe the machlokas. Tosfos rather says the machlokas is on the second one, the loyli sana, where again Rav Meir would say both before and after his mutter, and Rav Yossi would say the day before it is still also. So the question is, Omar Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel really say the halacha is like Rav Meir? V'hatanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel, we learn in a braisa that was the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel, who says, "Uma tamad leimer bahoin bahoin shtei pamim." He says, look carefully at the wording of Megillas Tainis. It introduces, it says, "Ilen yomer deloyli sanah bahoin." These are the days on which you're not allowed to fast on them. Umaktsasim deloyli mispat bahoin, and some of them you're not allowed to make a spadim on them. So Reb Shimon Gamliel is shelling zich. Why does it say behind twice? Again, this Talmud Loimar sounds a little funny for a Braisa, but again, like we said yesterday, Megillas Tainis was the very first thing which the Chachamim authorized to write for public use after the Tanakh was finished. So therefore, the Gemara sometimes introduces words from expressions from it with the word dichtiv, almost as if it was a pasuk. And here also we're using Talmud Loimar, almost as if it was a pasuk. So why did it say bahoin shtei pamim? Why did it say bahoin twice? Loimar lach. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says shehein asurin. It comes to tell you it's a mute. So it means that only the days themselves are also lifnei and lachrei and mutarin, but the days before and after them are mutar. Ve'amar Shmuel halacha k'Reb Shimon Gamliel, and Shmuel says the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So therefore, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, there's none of these lifneihem and none of these lachreihem things. So if Shmuel says the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, so anyway lifneihem and lachreihem is mutter. So why is he saying the halacha is like Reb Meir, that there are sometimes when lifneihem is aser? The answer is meikra savar, because Shmuel figured, originally Shmuel figured, kibin de leka tana de meko k'Reb Meir, since there's no tana who is meko as much as Reb Meir, he only knew of the opinions of Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. Omar halacha k'Reb Meir, so he wanted to be meikel as much as possible. So he said the halacha is like Reb Meir, who says that sometimes the day before is also, sometimes not even, and the day after is never also. Kiven the shame that Reb Shimon the meikel tvei Reb Shimon Gamliel, that is the meikel tvei. Once he saw that Reb Shimon Gamliel, once he heard of this braisa that Reb Shimon Gamliel is meikel even more than that, because he learns from the two behinds. Then he said, you know what, actually, I want to paskin like the most lenient opinion. And now that I know that there's the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel, then I'm going to paskin like that and say the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So that's why Shmuel is not being inconsistent. Now usually when we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel in Dine Isser V'Heter, usually the halacha is like Rav. So therefore that would mean that here the halacha is like Rav Yosi. So Tosfos and a bunch of other Rishonim bring up the point. So how are we allowed to fast on Tainis Esther? Tainis Esther is the day before Purim. Purim is listed in Megillas Tainis. It happened before the second Beis Hamikdash was built, but it's listed in Megillas Tainis. And based on what we're saying, if the halacha is like Rav Yosi, then, for that matter, even according to the mayor, it does say on them Deloy L'Mispad, and even according to the mayor, the day before them is Osir. So, and we know even if most of Megillas Tainis is bottle, Chanukah and Purim are not. So what's going on? So Tosfos says, okay, that it means that the days themselves are not bottle. Chanukah and Purim still exist, and we can't fast on them. But the days before them, once we say bottle Megillas Tainis, then maybe the days before them are mutter. In fact, later on Omud Beis, we're going to talk about that at one point during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the 13th of Adar, which is usually when we fast Tainis Esther, was in fact the Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis. Later on, they were mevatel it. So again, once they were mevatel it, then we could say that also now you're allowed to fast on it, even though it's the day before Purim. There are a variety of other answers given by Rishonim, including there's an answer the Ravid actually wants to say that the fast of Tainis Esther goes back all the way to when Purim was first established. So he says that when we say the day before a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis, you're not allowed to do certain things, he says that would mean you're not allowed to do a spadim. But to fast, you would be allowed to. And here you have an example, because the 13th of Adar, the day before Purim, we are in fact fasting. A lot of Rishonim disagree with him on that. They say Tainis Esther is not part of the original Takana of Purim. It's only a much later minhag. For that reason, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that there's more reason to be meikel on Tainis Esther if a person is feeling weak, more so than with other fasts, because unlike the other ones of Divrei Kabbalah, this one is really only a minhag. And they give different answers. One of them being that I think the Baal HaMor says, for example, that just like we said before at the beginning of the Sugya, that Rosh Chodesh being Daraisa, we don't have to be Mechazik it, and therefore the day before Rosh Chodesh would usually be Mutter, the Hesped, the Tainis, and it's only when it's a Yom Tov and Megillas Tainis than not. Well, the same thing, since Purim, since the days of Purim are written in Tanakh. So therefore, we can say, even though they're also listed in Megillas Tainis, nevertheless, we don't have to go so far as to be Mechazik and say that the day before it should be Osir. And therefore, we're able to fast on Tainis Esther. And again, there are several other answers as well. Okay, going back to the Gemara. So we had Rav and Shmuel arguing who the Halacha is like. Rav saying the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, who's Machmir, on the days before and after. Shmuel saying originally the halacha is like the mayor who's maple, and then like Reb Shimon Gamliel who's even more maple. So the Gemara continues. V'chein omer Boli omer Abchir ba'Aba omer Rabbi Yochanan. So said Boli, that was his name, the name of a Chacham. Rashi says in the name of Abchir ba'Aba, who in turn said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. That the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. That a day that Deloy Mispad, the bigger Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainis, are also Lifneim and Lacharehim, and the smaller Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainis are also before them, but not after them. Amalei Reb Chiya LeBoli, so Reb Chiya says to his Talmud Boli, who had just said this, Asbar Allah, let me explain to you the halacha that you just said over in my name. Ki Amar Reb Yechanan halacha ki Reb Yosi, when Reb Yechanan said the halacha is like Reb Yosi, he wasn't talking about he wasn't talking about both halves of what Rabbi Yosi is saying. Adeloli samno. He was talking about the second part where you have days in Megillas Tainis that it says you're not allowed to fast, and Rabbi Yosi is saying those days you're also not allowed to fast before them, but you're allowed to fast the day after them. That's the part where Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, not necessarily as far as the first part. When it comes to the Lord of Mispad, then the halacha is not necessarily like Rabbi Yosi, but rather like Rabbi Meir. So in other words, it would come out that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that whether Deloy Mispad or whether Deloy Yisana, either way, the day before is Osir, but the day after is Mutter. So the question is, Umi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? Well, Omer Rabbi Yochanan halacha is Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says a general rule that halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. And Utsnan, and we learn in a Mishnah in Megillah, the Mishnah describes over there, the first Mishnah of Megillah describes how sometimes you're allowed to lay in Megillah earlier than the 14th or 15th of Adar. We'll learn it in a few weeks, Be'ez Hashem. So you have, we say the Megillah Nikris, Ba'achados, B'Shnei Moser, etc. And the Mishnah says, Afal picha omru makdimin v'loy ma'achrin, even though the Chachamim had said that if you need to lay in Megillah on a different day, you move it up, you don't delay it. You don't say, let's say, for example, I live in a walled city. I can't lay in on the 15th for whatever reason. Therefore, I'm going to lay in on the 16th. You don't do that. So even though the Chachamim said that you read it, that you can read it during a few days before, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, still, Mutorin, Behesped, Retinus, those days when people are reading the Megillah, you're allowed to do Espedim and you're allowed to do fast days. So now let's figure out which day are we talking about. Amos, when would that be? Which of those days would it be when you might be able to do a Hesped, Retinus, because even though you're laying in the Megillah, it's not actually Purim. Ilema Bnei Chamesar, V'Kokorolei Ba'arbesar. Let's start with, we're talking about, let's say, a Ben Krach, a person who lives in a walled city, who's supposed to read on the 15th, and instead he's reading on the 14th. Rashi gives an example. Let's say that he went to a village, or for that matter, it doesn't even need to be a village. It could be a regular unwalled city. And he reads Megillah together with them on the 14th of Adar, which is their day of Purim. So you're going to say that you're allowed to do a Hesped Retinus, or me, Shori, would you be allowed to do a Hesped Retinus on that day? The 14th and the 15th of Adar are the days of Purim, and you're not allowed to make a spadim on them. Now, the question is, why did Megillas Tainis need to list that if we know from the Megillah that you have the 14th and the 15th of Adar are Purim? But Omar Rava, so Rava says, Loi Nitzucha, the chidush of what's added by putting it in Megillas Tainis, Ela Lesser Estral Zeba Zeba Estral Zeba Zeb. That each one is also on the other ones, meaning a person who lives in an unwalled city, even though for him Purim is the 14th, nevertheless the 15th, which is Shushan Purim, he's also not allowed to fast or make a spadim. And vice versa, a person who lives in a walled city, even though his Purim is on the 15th, he's also not allowed to fast or make a spadim on the 14th. So it's our Ben Krach over here, our person from a walled city who went to an unwalled city and is hearing the Megillah on the 14th. He's anyway not allowed to fast on the 14th, not because of the day that he's hearing the Megillah, but because it's regular Purim for people of unwalled cities. So it can't be that the Mishnah there is talking about that. The Ela Bnei based on a Kakarulei. So we're going to go through. We're going to go through the possibilities. Eventually, we're going to find there is one day when on the face of it, it would have been allowed Behesped the Tainus, and we're saying that's fine. Even if you lay in the Megillah on that day, then you're still allowed to do Hesped the Tainus. The problem is that's a day before Yom Tov, Megillah's Tainus, and that's going to be where we ask the question on Rabbi Yechanan. So let's go through the Ela Bnei Abeis of a Kakorda Lebetleisar. You're going to say we're talking about people who normally would lay in the Megillah on the 14th, and this time they're laying on the 13th. Namely, you have and it describes over there in the Mishnah that you have the Bnei Akforim, the people who live in villages, they don't have to lay in on the 14th. The Chachamim made it possible for them to lay in on the Yom HaKnisa, on the Monday or Thursday before, on the last Monday or Thursday before Purim, because those are the days they come into the big cities. So let's say Purim came out on a Friday, and therefore the Bnei Akforim are moving it up to Thursday, which is the 13th. Anyway, you're going to say the 13th, then you're allowed to fast and you're allowed to fast and do a spadim because it's not Purim itself. You anyway can't. Yom Nikanor, the 13th is Yom Nikanor. And it's anyway a Yom Tov Megillas Tainus. You're not allowed to fast. So let's say then we're talking about people who normally would have leaned on the 14th and now they're leaning on the 12th. So let's say Purim comes out on Wednesday or on Shabbos, which, by the way, nowadays it can't, but in those times it could. So therefore, again, you're moving up the. So Shabbos actually is a different matter, but if it comes out on Wednesday, let's say you're moving up the Megillah reading to the previous Monday, which is the 12th. And you're going to say again that it means that day you're allowed to do Hesped and Tainus. Also not Yom Tu Yonasu. That it's also a Yom Tov Megillas Tainus called Yom Tu Yonas. Soon the Gemara is going to explain what Yom Nikanor and Yom Tu Yonas are. Ela lav dekakora lebechadeser. So evidently, by elimination, we have to be talking about the case where the Leinim Megillah on the 11th, which is the earliest that you're allowed to, namely where Purim comes out on Sunday, and therefore the Bnei Akforim are moving up to the previous Thursday, which is the 11th, and Leinim the Megillah then. Vikatoni muta behesved retinus. Now we're saying that day of the 11th, you're allowed to fast, you're allowed to make a spadim. Now that's a Stam Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yechanan, the halacha should be like that, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, we're saying that a day of Megillas Tainus, you're not allowed to fast on the day before it. Well, the 12th being a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus means the 11th, you're not allowed to fast. So what do you mean? And yet we have the Mishnah telling us you're allowed to. So how can we say that Rabbi Yechanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi? And the answer is loy. No, we don't have to answer that. We could say that the Mishnah is not talking about the 11th. Bnei Arba also. We are talking about villagers who normally would have to lay in on the 14th, but Kakarale B'chadesar. Betresa, rather, and instead they're laning on the 12th. So Purim was Wednesday, and they're laning the previous Monday. And you're saying that day, the 12th, is Mutter Behesved Tainus. I, Udkaamet Yom Tu Yonasu. You're going to say it's Yom Tu Yonas, so anyway, also. The answer is Yom Tu Yonas Gufe Batlu, because the Chachamim themselves were Mevatel Yom Tu Yonas later on, Hoyo Venergo by Shmaya Vachia Ochi, because Shmaya and his brother Achia, who were two great Hasidim, were killed on that day. So therefore, in other words, so originally there was a Yom Tov of the 12th, but then they were mevatel it because, on the other hand, a tragedy happened on that day that Shmaya and Achia were killed. And therefore, so now the 12th is Mutter Behesped Tainus. Again, we're not going to say that this was Rashi's and Tosfos' point on Omer Aleph. Actually, the Gemara itself is going to point out that once we say that it's Mutter because Nergu B'Shmaya V'Achia, we're not going to say it remains also because it's the day before Yom Nikanor. Therefore, the 12th is now Mutter B'Hesped Tainus, even if we say the rest of Megillas Tainus is in effect. Therefore, the Mishnah could be very well talking about that. So that would be a special case where they're Mevatel the Yom Tov. But Rabbi Yochanan would be saying where they weren't Mevatel a Yom Tov, and the day where the Yom Tov is still in effect, and the day before it is not otherwise itself a day that they were Mevatel, then you're talking not allowed to fast and make a spadim on that day. So that would be the case. In other words, so the 12th, the Mishnah is saying you'd be allowed to. But let's say, for example,
You have, we said on Amud Aleph, the 28th of Adar. So the 27th of Adar, you taka would not, the 27th of Adar, which never was a Yom Tov Megillas Tainis, and it's not a day when any particular tragedy happened either, then those in, that, in fact, you would be usur to do aspedim and fasting, like Rabbi Yochanan said. Who are these Shmaya and Achia? So Rashi just says they were Chassidim. It doesn't say who they are. Rashi makes a point of mentioning, don't think that that was the Navi from the time of Yerovam, who it says was eaten by a lion. His name was Ido. His name was not Shmaya. Anyway, the point is, so on the side of it here, it brings from the Oruch that those are identical with the Haruge Lud, which the Gemara mentions in some places, that Haruge Lud, the Jewish people who were killed in Lud, are such a high level that no other people can stand in their mechitza. So we'll talk about them soon in connection with the story of Turyonis. So as the Gemara gives an example, he called it Rav Nachman goes. It happened once, in fact, that Rav Nachman declared a fast on the 12th of Adar. And the Chacham said to him, isn't it Yom Tu Yonus? If we hold that Loi Botla Megillas Tainis, then it should still be also to fast on that day. And Rav Nachman answered them exactly what we just said. Yom Tu Yonus Gufi Batlu Batlu. They were in fact Mevatel Yom Tu Yonus because Shmaya and Achia, his brother, were killed, and that's a tragedy, which therefore, so even if the rest of Megillas Tainis is in effect, that day now goes back to being Mutter Behesped Tainis because of that. So the Gemara asks, but typically they have a Yom Shilifnei Nikonor. So what? Still, it's the day before Yom Nikonor. Shouldn't that be reason enough to aser fasting on that day? Because the day before Yom Tov and Megillas Tainis. And the answer is Amar Rav Ashi, Hashti Ihu Gufi Baplu. If we're already saying that Mvatal the 12th itself because of the tragedy with Shmaya and Achia, Mishum Yom Nikonu Nekum Menigzer, are we going to remake the Gzera that we're not allowed to fast on it because it's the day before Yom Nikonu? No. Once we're mevatel it and we're saying that it's a regular day and you're allowed behesped betainus, then it loses its status as the day before Yom Nikonor as well. Okay, my Nikonor or my Turyonis, what's this Yom Nikonor and this Yom Turyonis that we're talking about? So the Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, also part of Megillas Tainis. Nikonor echad meifracha yevonim hoya. Nikonor was one of the Greek noblemen, or Rashi translates ifrachi as dukos, a duke. Obviously, it was one of the Greek dukes or military leaders or whatever. Every day during the battle, he would wave his hand contemptuously against Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and he would say, when is this city going to fall into my hands, and I will trample it? So he's looking forward to his victory. When the Chashmonaim is very appropriate now to Hanukkah, this is actually part of the battles that took place in the years before or after the Nes Hanukkah. So when the Chashmonaim overpowered the Notzchum and they beat the Greeks, they chopped off the thumbs of his hand. They chopped off his thumbs and his big toes. Utlom b'shari Yerushalayim, and they hung them on the walls of Yerushalayim. Of Omru, when they said, the mouth of Nikonor that spoke with such gaiva against Hashem, the hands that were being waved against Yerushalayim in contempt, Nekama will be accomplished on them, and therefore they hung them up as a sign for everybody to remember that. And that happened on the 13th of Adar, so that they declared a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis. The question is, by the way, where is the Nekama on the mouth? Marsha explains they also chopped off his head. So Benayahu, which is from the Ben Yehoyada, he wrote Ben Yehoyada as a pirush on the Agadah, and then he wrote Benayahu as a supplement to it. He says, the vote is, what did they do? They chopped off his thumbs and his big toes while he was alive. So he's screaming with his mouth in pain. That was the Nakama on his mouth. Anyway, so that's Yom Nikonor, the 13th of Adar. My Turyonis, what's the story with Yom Turyonis? So Turyonis was actually was one of the Roman emperors. In English, he's called Trajan, Trajan, whatever. Anyway, so Omru, they said, Kishabikish Turyonis laharigis Lulionis upapus achiv veludgia. When Turyonis was going to kill Lulionis and his brother Papus, who were tzaddikim gmurim, Rashi says, in Ludgia. So Rashi over here brings this concept that the Gemara mentions in some places that Haruge Lud, these Jews who were killed in Lud on Mesiras Nefesh, they're on such a high level, nobody else is able to be in their area in Gan Eden. So because we're saying over here, because they were killed by two yomes. Now what's the story? So Rashi brings a Yesh Omrim that Truyonis' daughter was found killed. He and the Romans were accusing the Jews collectively of having killed her, and therefore he was ready to wipe out the Jewish people. So this Lulianos and Papos came and presented themselves, and they said, "We're the ones who killed her." So they went on Mesiras Nefesh in order to save the rest of the Jewish people. So when he was going to kill them in Ludkia, So Rashi is saying that Ludkia is the same as Lud. Other Mephoshim say that actually Lud is a city in Eretz Yisrael. Ludkia is actually a place in what nowadays Turkey. Anyway, whatever the case, Omer Lahem, so he says to them, "I know what you're doing. If you're from the people that from the same nation as Hanani Mishol Vazaria, then I expect that Hashem is going to come and save you from my hands. The same way as he saved them from Nebuchadnezzar." So in other words, he's telling them, "I know, first of all," he's saying, "I know good and well that you guys didn't actually do the murder, but I know also that what's going to happen, you're giving yourselves off on Mesiras Nefesh and you're going to end up getting saved. So what's the big deal?" Omrulai, they told him no. Chanani Mishov Azai Tzadikim Gmurim. First of all, they were Tzadikim Gmurim. Uruyin Lass Slam Nest, they also slam nest. They deserve to have a nest happen for them. Second of all, Nebuchadnezzar was at least a decent king. Now, he was a tremendous Rasha. But on the other hand, when after the whole story with Chanani Mishov Azaria, he recognized that Hashem runs the world. It didn't change his behavior. But you have in the Pesukim Daniel over there where he says tremendous praises to Hashem who runs the world and saves the tzaddikim and whatever. So in that sense, he's a melech hogun. Also, there's an explanation. Marsha says that when you think about it, Nebuchadnezzar, when he accused Hanani Mishael Bazalia, the accusation was true. They didn't bow down to his statue. Over here, they're saying, you know perfectly well that the accusation against any Jews of killing your daughter is false anyway. So in that sense, you're not hogun like him. So therefore, Nebuchadnezzar was suitable for a nest to happen through him because Hashem knew that he's in fact going to praise Hashem for it. But Oisei Rosha, but that Rosha, meaning you too, Yonis, Hedya too, is a low level person, a low life. The Einer Roy Leosis Nes Al Yodah, you don't deserve to have a nest happen through you because you're not even going to recognize that Hashem runs the world anyway, even if a nest does happen. And as far as us, you are far higher than us. Obviously, we are deserving of being of punishment, of death by Hashem. And listen, if you don't end up killing us, Hashem has many others who could kill us instead. Hashem has plenty of bears and lions in his world, where any of them could meet up with us and attack us and kill us. Ella, rather, you're mistaken that you're thinking we're being Moshe Nefesh, thinking that we're going to get saved. No, Loimasaranu, Akadosh Baruch Hu Yadcha. The only reason why Hashem put us into your hands, Ella, Sheosidli Pora Domeinu Miyadcha. He's going to avenge our blood from your hands. So they're telling you, you want to kill us, but realize that Hashem is going to get back at you for it. The Gemara continues, Afa Pekin and Hogan. Nevertheless, he killed them. But Miyad, nevertheless, he killed them right away. Omru, but they said, the Chachamim told the rest of the story, Loi Zozu Misham, they didn't move away from there, which means Ben Yehoyada says they didn't even have a chance to take their bodies to be buried, Ad Shabo Diyufli Miroimi, until Diyufli, which Rashi says means two princes, Diyu means two, is a Greek prefix meaning two, and Pli, Rashi says means ministers, that two ministers came, okay, the Oroch says a different explanation, it means two messengers, whatever, came Miroimi, from Rome, and they broke open his skull and his brain with pieces of wood. So he got it. So sure enough, Hashem got his revenge on him right there on the spot. So therefore, they declared it a Yom Tov of Yom Tov Yonis. The question is, though, I mean, first, these two great people, Lulianos and Papus, were killed. why are we making it a Yom Tov? So in fact, there are Mephoshim who bring a Gusa, they leave out the words Achtekein Hogan Miyad. And in fact, in Megillas Tainis, and also in Sifri, where in Sikra rather, where it also brings the story, in those places it doesn't say anything about he killed them. That, in other words, that the Eibishter just saved them by having these two ministers or whatever come and kill Turyonis before he had a chance to kill them. So then all the more so it's a Yom Tov. On the other hand, we said before that they are, the Oruch said that they are the Haruge Lud. So the answer could be that some Mephoshim say that what happened was right now they were saved from Turyonis, but on some later occasion, Shmaya and Achia, who the Aruch says are the same as Lulionis and Papus, so Lulionis and Papus would be their Greek or Roman names, and Shmaya and Achia would be their Hebrew name. At some later point, they were killed Al Kiddush Hashem by the Romans. And therefore, so now, maybe the point is it was on that same day, many years later, the 12th of Adar, and therefore the Chachamim were Mevatel, the original Yom Tov of Yom Turyonis, because even though to begin with it was a happy day, because the Eibishter punished Turyonis and Shmaya and Lulionis and Papus were saved, but since Shmaya and Achia, who according to the Aruch are the very same ones, were killed some years later, then the Chachamim were Mevatel that Yom Tov. So therefore, so that's the point. So the 12th of Adar at one point was a Yom Tov, but later on they were mevatel it because of that. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Ein gozrin tainus al hatzibur b'tchila b'chamishi chola. We said that when they're starting to declare fasts on the tzibur, they don't start on Thursdays because we said that's going to cause rises in prices before Shabbos. And then the Mishnah continued, Ein gozrin tainus b'roshe chadashim chola. We also don't declare a fast on Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah or Purim. But we said, Im hischilu ein mafsikin. We said if they begin fast, then they don't stop them because of Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah or whatever. So the question is, how many fasts does it have to be that they started and then Rosh Chodesh or whatever came? That we should say they should continue even though it's Rosh Chodesh. Rav Acha Omer Shalosh, Rav Asi Omer Achas. So, whether three, in other words, does it have to be that they fasted Monday, Thursday, Monday, and now, for example, it's coming the fourth fast of the series, and it's Rosh Chodesh, and we're saying they should go ahead and fast anyway, because they already had three. Or Rav Asi says only one, so even if they only had the fast on Monday, and Thursday is Rosh Chodesh already, then they fast on it. On the bottom over here, it brings a girsa that a number of the Rishonim, including Rashi, have a girsa, not Rav Asi, but rather Rav Yosi. And Rashi makes a point of mentioning Rav Yosi usually is a Tana. However, Tanoim, if we had a Machlokas Tanoim, then we would have Tona Rabbanon or Tanya or something like that. Here instead, when we have like this, where it's introduced for Kama Havi Haschola, Rav Acha Omer Shalosh, etc., then that's the kind of way that Amiroyim speak. So Rashi says, evidently, these are Amiroyim. And in fact, it's interesting, Reb Shrira Goin in his Igeres mentions that in the generation after Ravina, you had in the generation after, you had there was the second Ravina, the nephew of the first one, who was the last one who basically completed Shas. He's the last generation of the Amoroyim. After that, you have the generation of the Rabbanon Sivaroi. And he mentions that there was a Chacham then named Rav Yosi, who was Rosh Hashiva for 40 years. So it's very possible, and Doris Rishonim says, that the Rav Acha and Rav Asi, or Rav Acha and Rav Yosi, really according to Rashi, over here are in fact the first of the Rabbanon, are in fact the first generation of the Rabbanon Sivaroi. Anyway, okay, so you have that Machlokes 3 or 1. The Ritva brings, by the way, that the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayos that it means if they started fasting 3 hours versus 1 hour, but the Ritva says that seems to be a mistake. Why would 3 hours or 1 hour make a difference? It's rather three fasts or one fast. And in fact, in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam Paskin, like Rav Asi, that says one. However, the Gemara says, Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, now all of that is only according to Reb Meir in the name of Reb Shimon Gamliel. That we said. So again, we said in the Mishnah that Reb Meir had said that Reb Gamliel was in the Mishnah. Reb Meir had said Reb Gamliel holds that even though you have to fast on those days, nevertheless you still break off the fast before the end of the day. But Reb Yehuda is saying that that's only according to Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir's version of Reb Gamliel. The Chachamim who disagree with Rav Gamliel say that no, when you have a fast on Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah or Purim, even though when they had the three or the one fast, and now you're fasting on those days, then in fact you fast the entire fast. And the Gemara says, Dorash Mazutra Meshmeh Rabuna, Halacha Misane Umashlim, the Halacha is in fact that you do complete the fast until Tzeisa Kachavim. So now, Tosfos says, though, that's only Rosh Chodesh. If it was Chanukah and Purim, you're not supposed to be fasting in the first place, because though you may mishtev a simcha, which, by the way, I mean, there's no source in a pasuk that Chanukah is you may mishtev a simcha, obviously not, because Chanukah was after Tanakh is over anyway. Nevertheless, there is an opinion of Rishonim that you're supposed to have a little extra mishtev a simcha on Chanukah, even though the primary thing is lighting the menorah. But nevertheless, in any case, so on Rosh Chodesh, at least Tosfos says, Misane Umashlim, if for whatever reason they're fasting, they do in fact have to finish the fast. We mentioned in the Mishnah also the same thing is when Tisha B'Av is on Erev Shabbos. So nowadays, Tisha B'Av doesn't fall out on Erev Shabbos, but we do have, when Asara B'Tavis falls out on Shabbos, then in fact we do fast the entire fast until Tzeis HaKachavim. Based on our Gemara over here. What we do though is, when you have a fast, which otherwise was going to be on when you have Tinus Esther, when it's on Shabbos, we don't move it up to Friday. We move it up to Thursday because when we're moving a fast, we'd rather not put it on Friday because it's not covered Shabbos. But when the fast in and of itself comes out on Friday, then yes, we do in fact fast, and we fast the whole thing until after Tzeis HaKachavim. Hadron alach seder tanias ketzad.
Yes, shekayach.